Thanks for tuning into Organic Matters. Let's start this part of the show on something that I almost talk about every week, but we're going to kind of tie it into part of our gardening show. What am I talking about? It's actually my top tips for gardening in what I am now conceiving is definitely what most of us call climate change. We are all by now well aware, I think, that our climate is changing. Certain effects of that global warming, they used to call it, are locked in, no matter what happens next. But there is still a lot of potential variation in outcome for the next 50 years or maybe the next century. That depends on our success in tackling our climate and biodiversity crisis and on how quickly we do so. A degree of hope, but also some realism, is required as we look into the future. In our gardens, we can do a lot of kind of work to mitigate the climate change, but we too have to adapt to this ever-changing climate. I do need to mention here that the best strategies and methods to adopt in your garden will vary depending on just where you live. While some can expect far higher winter rainfall, for example, others can expect less. Some will experience more droughts, others more floods. While some gardeners will battle increasing temperatures year-round, others may actually find winter weather to become colder and even more severe. Many people experience an increase in the number of extreme weather events overall, such as wildfires. Unpredictability in winter weather patterns and summer patterns will only become more pronounced. So for whatever area you live in, before you can begin to adapt, it's important to build a clearer picture of what is expected in your particular area. Gardening for a changing climate means understanding in as much detail as you possibly can how things are likely to change where you live through the course of the next few coming years. Whatever the changing climate looks like where you live, however, there are some key considerations to think about in order to, what I would call, future-proof your garden and be able to, weather the weather, whatever the weather may come to be. Wherever you live, it is important not just to look up to the skies and at the sun and weather patterns, but also to look down. Soil is crucial in so many ways. One of the best and most important things to think about when gardening for an ever-changing climate is protecting and enhancing the soil where you live. With a healthy living ecosystem, the plants that you grow will certainly be far more resilient. Just realize, soil with plenty of organic matter is not only a valuable carbon sink, it also means better moisture retention in drought and better drainage and less nutrient loss in wetter conditions. Healthy soil makes healthier roots and plants in general. Which, of course, means that those plants will be less vulnerable to winds, storm damage, fire, and pretty much whatever Mother Nature throws at them. When creating and maintaining a garden that can endure even through climatic changes, soil care is crucial. Keeping a living root in the soil as much as possible, avoiding compaction, and mulching with plenty of organic matter can be important in maintaining this precious and crucial ecosystem right below your feet. Of course, another consideration is always managing your water wisely. Soil care and water management actually have to go hand in hand. Along with soil care, managing water wisely should be at the top of the agenda for any sustainable gardener. Think about where your water comes from. When it rains, take steps to harvest rainwater for use when it is dry whenever you can. Plan and plant your garden to catch and store water in the landscape if you can, halting or directing its flow to meet the challenges you face as they relate to our ever-changing climate patterns. And as you care for your plants, choose water-saving irrigation or watering strategies to reduce usage where and when it is in short supply. A resilient and sustainable garden is one where the plants are ideally suited to the position and place they're in. A garden with a holistic plan for plant choices and placement will ensure that you always choose the right plants for the right places. But it is important also to think about making the correct plant choices for the future that we all at some point are going to have to face. Kind of thinking about it this way, plants are just as vulnerable to a changing climate as we are. Some will thrive while others will struggle. It is a good idea to choose resilient plants for your garden, which are best suited to the growing conditions right there where you live. Native plants in your area will often be the most resilient and therefore best able to adapt. Though, you might also consider non-natives, especially where you are in margins of their current range, and yet you see that the direction your weather happens to be going, drier, hotter, damper, might better fit plants that are just a little out of what you considered your normal range when you started that garden a decade or so ago. And do time to think about this, will you? As the climate warms, wildlife will obviously be affected. Plant as wide a variety of different plants in your garden as possible, especially natives, upon which the local wildlife usually or many times depends upon. That will help make sure your garden can stand the test of time. The more biodiverse a system, the higher the number of beneficial interactions can be, and the more stability and resilience that garden will enjoy. Diversifying when it comes to plant choices and methods will also mean that even when not everything thrives or goes according to plan, you can still meet with a range of successes in your garden, whatever the future climate may bring. To kind of give a wrap on this, just do start considering, most of us that have kept our feet to the ground and our gardeners and keep in touch with what's going on in the world around us, do without a doubt realize things are changing. Just remember, sometimes you're going to have to change with them. It may not be 1 year or 2 years or 3 years down the road, but things are changing most everywhere that I reach with this radio station. And you need to kind of keep your finger on that, and you can always stay either in step or maybe even a step ahead of the ever-changing climate. While we're on the subject of our ever-changing, not never-changing Earth, let me kind of stop and kind of talk a little bit about the Earth. This is, again, a little bit philosophical, but it's I find it an interesting subject. This planet and its miraculous nature will go on with or without us. After all, extinction is an essential part of life's history on this planet, and we humans seem determined in some ways to fuel our own demise through unsustainable exploitation and destruction of the natural world that makes human life and flourishing here possible. Kind of food for thought. In the 3.9 billion years we think we've kind of existed, life itself on this Earth, immense changes have occurred. The sun is now about 30% warmer today than it was through these years. Great continental plates have pulled apart and smashed together. Mountains have risen. Oceans filled and then emptied. Magnetic poles have reversed, then switched back. Ice ages have punctuated warm periods over millions of years. At some point, life invented what we call photosynthesis. The atmosphere was transformed by removal of carbon dioxide and the addition of oxygen. Those life forms were fixed by their heredity to specific habitats and needs. So when environmental conditions changed, they were displaced by others, usually better suited to the new state. More than 99.99% of all species, get that now, that have ever existed are extinct. And that is how life has persisted. The fossil record indicates 5 mass extinction episodes have occurred, defined by a disappearance of more, in some cases, of 75% of all species within 2.8 million years, a mere blink, incidentally, in the real time of evolution. In 5 great extinctions, 79 to 90% of terrestrial and marine plants and animals vanished. Despite these enormous disruptions, life recovered in diversity and abundance. although radically different in makeup. In the Cretaceous Paleogene mass extension, which we think was about 66 million years ago, that's when dinosaurs disappeared after ruling the planet for 180 million years. And then mammals took advantage and have thrived. On average, an invertebrate species lifespan tends to be about 11 million years, whereas mammalian species last, it appears, between just 1 and 2 million years. After a mass extinction, ecosystems recover, it looks from the knowledge that we know, after about 2 million years, while the biosphere itself may take as many as 10 million years to actually fully flourish once again. These numbers and time frames are kind of inferred from the fossil record and geology and can provide a framework within which we can assess the current epoch, which we now call the Anthropocene. Explosive growth of human numbers, technological innovation, and demands of global economy have amplified our species' ecological footprint so greatly that we've triggered another mass extinction episode all on our own. Unlike the previous five, however, this sixth extinction is the direct consequence of one species, us. An infant species in the real frame of time that has only been around like maybe at the tops 300,000 years. Folks were the first species to have caused rapid extinction and to be aware of what we're doing. No other species before that has ever been able to do that. We have spread across the planet and become a geological force, reshaping the land and water and the species according to what our demands are. But as the top planetary predator, we're one of the species most vulnerable to extinction ourselves, and many other species as well. If the plants and animals we rely on for food and virtually everything else that allows us to exist should become extinct, folks, we're in trouble. We are the one species able to recognize the crisis and resolve it by pulling back, ceasing activities that contribute to extinction, and encouraging nature. Nature always bats last, folks, think about that, and she will win. That's because she sets the rules, and nature has an ace up its sleeve that we don't have, time. Literally all the time in the world until the sun burns out and is no more. We are stealing from our children and future generations by extinguishing so many species that could have been here for them also. We have many reasons to change our destructive ways, to show greater respect to nature. Above all, though, we have to think of the world we're leaving to our children and grandchildren and those that are yet to be born. We have to do it for one reason. We must do it for love. Thanks for listening to Organic Matters.